In 1994, a 26-year-old woman named Cheryl Strayed set out on a 1,100-mile hike along the Pacific Crest Trail, an intense journey through the Mojave Desert in Southern California and up across and then around the High Sierras until finally she arrived at the Bridge of the Gods on the border of Oregon and Washington. Cheryl's epic trek through the mountains wasn't sparked by a love of hiking, nor was it a culmination of years of experience and planning. She was compelled on this treacherous journey into the wilderness by a life that had itself become a wilderness for her. She had lost her mother several years earlier to a quick and brutal cancer. Her remaining family disintegrated, her marriage fell apart, and she descended into a life of heroin use, destructive relationships, and pain. Finding herself at the end of her rope, she picked up a book about the Pacific Crest Trail and stumbled her way into a wilderness experience that was dangerous, painful, profoundly challenging, and ultimately transformative. Describing the experience in her memoir called Wild, Strayed says this: "The thing about hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, the thing that was so profound to me that summer, and yet also, like most things, so very simple, was how few choices I had and how often I had to do the thing I least wanted to do. Now, there was no escape or denial, no numbing it down with a martini or covering it up with a roll in the hay. As I clung to the chaparral that day, attempting to patch up my bleeding finger, terrified by every strange sound, I considered my options. There were only two, and they were essentially the same. I could go back in the direction I came from, or I could go forward in the direction I intended to go." Torn from the structures and vestiges of familiar life in which she had taken refuge, Strayed's vision shifted to choices at once simpler and more significant. In this year of a deadly and dangerous virus, I am acutely aware how the pandemic has created its own kind of wilderness for so many of us. The acute loneliness of seniors living by themselves, deprived of human contact with loved ones for months on end. The enormous stresses on young families managing homeschooling and a job that may require them to have a makeshift home office. Stresses exacerbated by those families if you lost a loved one or lost your job, like 20 million other Americans. Like Cheryl Strayed, our wilderness choices are both simple and significant. Do we yearn to go back in the direction we came from, or do we have the courage and faith to move forward into an unknown future? At the very beginning of this story in Acts about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, we are told that an angel comes to Philip and tells him to go down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then the text tells us this is a wilderness road. In the modern translation, this line is set between two parentheses. It's important enough that the author interrupts the flow of the narrative to relay this one particular detail. And so I think it's worth our notice this morning as well. Wilderness is a loaded term in the Bible. It indicates a murky, unruly, even dangerous space, a place beyond the reach of worldly structures and societies, a no man's land in the scrubby desert. And it is to this place, this particularly wild place, that the Spirit draws Philip and this Ethiopian man together. The Ethiopian man is traveling on this road in his chariot. He has been worshiping in Jerusalem and he is headed back to where he's from. To the queen he serves as a prominent court official, and to his wealth, to his power, and to his particular role and context. And Philip is one of those devoted disciples of that eccentric rabbi Jesus who was executed and who they claim overcame the execution to rise from the dead. Philip is coming to Jerusalem where he lives from his company of brothers and sisters in faith, from whatever mission of evangelism that he had in mind when the angel came and called him elsewhere. Now, these men come from very different places and very different contexts, and they will go on to different lives. But for this moment and this story, they walk a common road, and not just any road, a wilderness road. Here in this fifth week of our Easter season, it's a little striking that we find ourselves confronted with such a wilderness story. Generally, we talk about wilderness during the season of Lent, a time when we wrestle with the dark and murky areas of our own selves as we walk with Jesus to the cross. But we're in Easter now. The cross has been overcome, the tomb is empty, the Son is resurrected, and the church is being born. Shouldn't we be done with the wilderness? And yet here we are on this road with Philip and the eunuch, and it is a wilderness road. I'll confess to you, I'm a little glad about that. After all, being born some 2,000 years after that first resurrection day hasn't kept wilderness from my own life. And I imagine it hasn't kept it from yours either. We live in a post-Easter world, and yet the wilderness is alive and well. Not just in our own lives, but all around us, particularly in this past year. This story of the eunuch and the evangelist has a hopeful message for us amid this weary wilderness world. We are not alone. God is in the wilderness too. God is, in fact, even hard at work in the wilderness. After all, the Garden of Eden was cultivated in the midst of the wilderness of new creation. The Israelites were shaped as the people of God in the wilderness before they entered the promised land. Jesus' ministry rose out of his wilderness experience. And here in this story, a new life of faith begins on a wilderness road. Let there be no doubt, God has always been at work in the wilderness. Our calling is to recognize it, to see what special thing God is doing, what new thing is being born, and then to join in as we can. When Cheryl Strayed speaks about her experience hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, she talks about the limitation of her choices as an absence of worldly distractions. She describes how she couldn't hide in those things that had once provided her some comfort and shield from the harsh truths of life. She could only face the stark reality in front of her and decide whether or not to move forward. I wonder if Philip and this Ethiopian companion on that road found a similar lesson in the wilderness. After all, in their respective contexts, they would have little cause to encounter one another. And had they would each have had plenty of distracting reasons to both discount and discredit each other. And yet on this no man's land road, those distinctions give way to a simpler truth. They are two men seeking faith on a dangerous road, one with the word of Scripture in hand, and the other with the wisdom to bring them to life. And so they find something needed in one another, something they would have undoubtedly missed from each other in the more distracting and more certain worlds that they came from. A chance to find hope in one another, a chance to encounter God in the most unlikely wilderness. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch find in one another the unexpected delight of a kindred spirit in faith. And then something amazing happens. Emboldened by this unpredictable encounter, the Ethiopian asks Philip, as they come upon a pool of water, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" The true answer, back in Jerusalem or in Ethiopia, would have been a lengthy list of rules and purity codes and regulations depriving him of this opportunity. For 1,001 reasons, it could not have happened. But here, in this place, precisely because it is the wilderness, all those worldly walls fall away. And in their place, echoing in the empty space of that scrubby desert, is God's answer to the eunuch's question. What is to prevent me from being baptized? Nothing. Absolutely not a thing. Undistracted by the trappings and complications of their ordinary context, these two men, like Cheryl Strayed, have only one choice to make: to join in on this road of faith, or to ignore that call and to attempt to carry it on as they had before. And so the two men enter the water as strangers and rise from it as family in Christ. As it turns out, this wilderness road is exactly the place for an Easter celebration. The truth these men encounter on that road is the same truth for which Christ came and lived and died and rose again, the very truth upon which God's entire church is founded, that there is nowhere and there is no one beyond the grasp of God's love. Nowhere and no one in whom God is not at work, creating something new. I wonder what might have happened if Philip had ignored the angel's urging and gone about his evangelism plan to the people and places he knew and understood. I wonder what might have happened if the Ethiopian had been too repulsed by the strange man running alongside his chariot, and he would have sped up his chariot, rushing back to Ethiopia, leaving Philip in the dust. That story, I think, would have described a different God. I, for one, am so grateful to have this story instead. I am so grateful for Philip and the eunuch's wilderness encounter that forever changed them both, long after the Spirit had whisked Philip away again and the eunuch had returned to his own country. And perhaps you and I are being called to show up in those wilderness places as well, to really confront them and listen and learn and hear and see with hearts open, to loosen our grasp on the worldly things that define our context, our expectations, privilege, and realities, which might well be blinding us to the very things we ought to be seeing. And to remember the one thing that truly defines us, the love of God that claims us all and never lets us go. That is the love made known in Christ, the good gift of God's undying love that Easter proclaims and that Philip and the Ethiopian find in each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.